Those that are staying with me, if you turn to Luke chapter 12, we'll see if I've got any voice today. I've been doing a lot of coughing, but I think I'm doing better. I just want to say, when I opened up this morning, this front door was open, was not locked. So I don't know, it's been, I guess, since Wednesday night or sometime. So those of you that are that'll close up at night, well, be sure and check that door. Let's look at chapter 12. I'm just going to read two verses. Verses 4 and 5. Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Again, I say unto my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the knowledge that it gives us. Thank you for the warnings. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of being able to come together this morning.
Amen.
And around your word, learn something, think some things through, and maybe make some good decisions.
Amen.
I pray you'd touch every heart and life that's in the sound of my voice. I pray, Lord, you'd give me a freedom to speak that only you can give. And I ask that your power, the power of your Holy Spirit, will apply the word to each of us. Give me wisdom and help. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Such an interesting verse. I think it's one of the most powerful verses I've ever read. And I remember when I first read it and I began to look at the implications of it, I thought, wow. Sort of like the one I did at the first of the month, you know, that Sodom would have been around if Jesus had done the miracles in them that he did in Capernaum. Wow, you know. And it's going to be easier on Sodom and Gomorrah, Tyre and Sidon, than on Capernaum and them where he preached and performed those miracles. That's a tremendous statement. Well, this is just about like that. Think about it for a minute. Be not afraid, verse 4, be not afraid of them that kill the body. Now, that's who we're afraid of.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Now, Texas has it so that most everybody can have a gun, or several. And you can even have one on your ankle, or your wrist, or your pocket, or your back, or whatever, you know, for self-defense. What are you doing? You're protecting yourself so that they don't kill your body. Now, people are worried about that. That seems like the biggest thing they can do to you. All of you know Senator John McCain. Ran for president here just recently and lost. But I have a great deal of respect for the man.
Amen.
He was a fighter pilot, Navy fighter pilot. And he was shot down in
Vietnam,
thank you. Shot down in Vietnam. He was captured because he was broken up from the crash. He had a whole lot of wounds and broken bones. And they didn't give him any medical attention. They just threw him in a thing and tortured him and did a lot of other things like that. And so the reason why you see sometimes when he's moving, that hand can't move right because it grew back wrong. You know, the bones went back wrong. Now, he was a son of an admiral. I think the grandson of an admiral, too, in the Navy. Because he was the son of an admiral, the Vietnamese would have been glad to make a show of great effort. They would let him go free, exchange him for some other prisoner. He wouldn't take it. He said, I will not take special treatment. You let the ones that came in before me go out. And he stayed there for years. Man, I've got to respect a man like that. Now, you know, as bad as he suffered and as much as he was tortured, and we just really have no idea. You just have no idea. He's still enjoying life. He didn't get killed. And he said here, don't fear them that kill the body. They kill the body. Well, bless your heart. Isn't that what most of us are worried about?
Right.
You're worried about your little kids.
Right.
Like that sorry pervert up there in Chicago or somewhere captured those three girls when they were just young teenagers and kept them for 10 years. In order to avoid the death penalty, he pleaded guilty and got a lifetime sentence plus 1,000 years. That's pretty good. No parole. Don't let that bird out. Kill the body. You know, people are worried about the body being killed. What worse can anybody do to you than that? Because even if they torture you, come out of it, you can come back. I had a heart operation 9 years ago. And man, the pain after that thing for about 3 months was terrific. And I remember telling myself, I ain't going to do this again. They're not going to get me in there again. They're not going to do this to me again. But I was asked, this mission conference said, do you think it's worth it? Was it worth doing? Oh, yeah. Hey, I just enjoyed a good steak here a while back. I got some enchiladas, cheese enchiladas. Wow. I like living. I like teasing Verlene. I've been teasing that girl since she was 16 years old. It's half the fun of my life is just to give her a hard time. Life is so important to us, everything else depends upon it. Everything you enjoy. It's because you're alive. When you're dead, you're not going to enjoy it. Not going to be around there. Now, you think about all the things. I think about different shows and whatever. They come in and they stick a gun in your face. Get in this car. Well, let him shoot you right there. Don't get in the car. Run. If he hits you, he might not have a good shot. You never know. I would run. And that's what I told my kids when we're growing up. We think, how do you protect yourself against these perverts and the ones that want to kidnap them and do whatever? Fight, kick, scream, run, do anything you can. Don't get in the car. Because then they're going to take you away where you don't have a chance. Then they're going to torture you, do whatever they want to, or maybe kill you. So what do we say? We say, we do not want to have our life taken away from us. We fight for it. Look at all the people in the hospitals, man. Some of them are going through absolute misery just trying to stay alive. It amazes me, you go into nursing homes, and there's people that have been laying there for years. They're not praying to die. They want life. But look what Jesus said. Now, this is a tremendous statement. You've got to think this one through. He said, be not afraid of them that kill the body. And after that, have no more that they can do. All they can do is kill you, Jesus said. The very worst they can do to you is kill you. Wow. You mean there's something a whole lot worse than that? According to this Bible, there is. It's a place called hell. Now, a lot of the modern Bibles will translate hell either Sheol in the Old Testament or Hades in the New Testament, and they will tell you that the King James Bible has translated it wrong every place it translated hell. Well, that's not the truth.
Amen.
I've studied every one of them out. And let me tell you something. What Jesus is talking about is not just the grave. It's not the worms eating your body. It's hell. Now, by the way, what I'm going to teach you this morning, it doesn't matter how you translate the word. I don't care. It wouldn't make me any difference. I believe the King James is exactly right, and I don't think there's an instance anywhere where I'd even give them a credit for it. But if you wanted to change every one of those and call it Sheol or Hades or the pit or the grave, it would not change the picture of hell. Even if you took the word out of the Bible, it would not change the picture of hell. Not when you look at it. Think about this for a minute. After that, have no more that they can do. Once they've thrown you in the grave and throw dirt in your face, what else can they do to you? What do you care? You know, I really wouldn't care. I plan on being buried just because God buried Moses. That's the only reason. I'm not going to get cremated just for that reason. But I really don't care. If you cremate me, I think I said it right. If you cremate me, God can pull all the ashes up and do what He wants to with it. Just speak the word. It's not a problem. I don't care if sharks ate you and there were 15 sharks that got a piece. He can put it back together. After that, have no more that they can do to you. What are they going to do to you once they've killed you? Who cares? You can feed me to the dogs, feed me to the alligators. It wouldn't make, not going to make any difference to me. Have no more that they can do to you. They don't have anything else. The only thing anybody can hold over you is they can force you to die. They can kill you. They can threaten you. Now, I don't know about you. I didn't grow up with a lot of guns. We grew up with knives. And to me, I'd rather be shot with a gun than stabbed with a knife. I don't like those knives. I'm not fast enough. You know, I'm not going to do real good in a knife fight unless I throw it at you and hit you with the edge of it or something like that. I'm not quick and fast. I'm strong, but I'm not quick and fast. So, bad news. Kill you. They can threaten to kill you and take away the rest of your life. And it's amazing how many people have lived through things that you think, how did they live? Myself, I've seen several instances where God, just in mercy, miraculously, delivered me and my family. I've been preaching a revival meeting, and a man 65 years old pulled out a chrome 38 special, stuck it in my face in his living room, and said, "I'm going to blow your guts to hell." I was still in my 20s. He said, "I'm going to blow your guts out, you're a dirty communist." I said, "No, sir, I'm not a communist. And I'm not going to hell, and you're not aiming at my guts. But what you need is to get saved." And I tell you honest truth, I had no fear. There was no fear at that moment. That night when I was sleeping and woke up in the creaking of the old house that I was sleeping in, I went out and got my shotgun and put it in the bed with me. But they can kill you. What more can they do? Well, let's think about it. Who can do more? God. You better fear God more than you fear anybody. Fear God. That's what He's trying to tell you right here. Now, He said, "I will forewarn you whom you shall fear." Here's Jesus. He's giving us the heads up. "Fear Him which after He hath killed hath power to cast into hell." I don't care what you call that word there. You can say Hades, you can say the grave, you can say the pit. He says you better fear Him because He can do something to you after you. After. "Fear Him which hath killed hath power to cast into hell." Which after He hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Fear Him. Amen. You know what? This world does not fear God right now. We've got some of these young idiots that have no fear written on the back of their car or their motorcycle or something else. Yeah, maybe they aren't afraid, but that just shows how stupid they are. You're not afraid? You're going to drive your motorcycle 120 miles an hour and you're not afraid? You're going to drive a car drunk and you're not afraid? You're going to go out there and oppose the police and you're not afraid? Well, that just shows you're not very smart. You ought to fear some things. Hey, I fear pain. I do not like pain. Wow. That is a great awakener. You know, we know something's wrong. We get pain, we know something's wrong. So pain is our friend and not our enemy. It tells us we got to fix something. Now, he said, don't you fear them that kill your body. Fear him who, after he has killed your body, has the power to cast you into hell. All right, let's take a look at that. Turn, if you will, back to Matthew 25. I want to show you two verses. And like I said, I believe hell is the absolute correct translation of the word every time it is in the King James. I really do. Don't think they made not a single mistake. But whatever, here's a description of that. Look at verse 41. Matthew 25, 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. He didn't say just depart into the grave and rot. Just depart in the grave and let the worms be fed. No. Depart in the grave and let dust go back to dust. Our Tennessee Ernie Ford song, 16 tons, a man's made out of mud. Muscle and blood. Weak mind and a strong back. Yeah, it's all going back, isn't it? Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. That doesn't sound like a 6-foot grave to me. I don't think you're getting the right interpretation if you're translating that just the grave. Or a pit. Or a place of the unknown. He says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. He didn't prepare it for you, but you're going to go there. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. Now look at verse 46. Let's put these two together. And these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. He said everlasting fire. He said everlasting punishment. Everlasting punishment. Oh boy, we go to the grave, and at the grave everybody has peace. Not according to this book. Not according to this book. And I know, I'll be honest with you. I hate the thought of hell. The most repulsive thought that can come to my mind is hell. Forever. If it were just a bonfire, we're going to go out and destroy the trash, and it's over with in a few minutes, or a few days. Wouldn't bother me. But I have never, the thought of hell scared me into getting saved. I didn't mind, well, I did mind dying, don't let me put it that way, but you know when you're young, you're 10-foot tall, you're bulletproof. You just don't think that right. You don't think clearly. But hell, what the Bible teaches is hell, everlasting fire, everlasting punishment. Good night, man. You better fear something. You better fear this. Amen. And that's what God's talking about. Now, I got some more. Just for the idea, what is hell like? What is this place? You can call it the grave or the place of the unknown, or you can call it the pit. You can call it Sheol or Hades. I don't care, but it's translated right when it's translated hell in your King James Bible. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Is it really better to cut off your hands rather than go into a pit or a grave? No, 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 no. What's he talking about? Into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. I went to a funeral yesterday. I didn't see no fire. There wasn't any fire. But there's a fire in hell. And if you die outside of Jesus Christ, that's where you're going. You're going into the pits of hell, into everlasting fire, into everlasting punishment. Well, let's see. Maybe that's just one little verse. Look at verse 44. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Somewhere in the Bible it says, thou worm, talking about a human being. He says their worm dieth not. Now maybe all we are is a little worm that's the essence of us somewhere down there. I'm just not sure. But their worm not dying. Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That sound like the grave to you? You've been to a funeral or two, haven't you? Have you ever seen them pitch the dirt in on the casket? Did you ever see any fire inside that casket? I haven't. Never have. Oh, but my friend, we're talking about God. And we're talking about eternal heaven and eternal hell. Look at verse 45, the last half of the verse where it says, then having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Is that understandable English? You think that's 12th grade English? Maybe 8th grade English? You think you can understand that? Look at verse 46. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. This is Jesus. Get it into your head, it wasn't a bunch of medieval monks that taught you about hell. It was Jesus Christ. Jesus taught more about hell than any other person in Scripture or in history. He taught it. It's not medieval superstition. He's the one that created it. He spoke it into existence. He looks down on it. The Bible says he sees it. The last part of verse 47. To enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, then having 2 eyes, to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Wow. There's something more than a 6-foot grave. There's something more than embalming fluid in a casket. There's something more because, see, you are more than your body. Can you tell that?
Amen.
Do you know that?
Amen.
I've got a body. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's treated me pretty good most of my life. I can't complain. Good night. I have survived so many things. I should not be alive, but I am. Thank the Lord I'm alive. I enjoy my enchiladas and my steak, and my diabetic doctor gives me a hard time. And I enjoy Nelda's white cake with white icing. Oh, it's my favorite cake, Nelda. She's been cooking it for me for years. She spoils me. My wife won't, but Nelda will. Into hell, the fire that never shall be quenched. Worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Did I read that correctly? Do you realize he's not talking about the grave? Do you realize he's not talking about a casket? He's not just talking about death. He's saying you better fear somebody who can do something to you after you die. That makes sense. That's intelligence. You say, well, I don't believe it's there. Well, you've never been there and come back, have you?
Amen.
Jesus
Amen.
Has.
Right.
Jesus has. He created the thing. Well, I'm not through yet. Let's look a little further. Look at Revelation 14. 14:10. This is talking about the ones during the tribulation period, the day of Jacob's trouble, who receive the mark of the beast. And here's what it has to say. Verse 10, Revelation 14, 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Fear him which, after he is killed, hath power to cast into hell. The wrath of God, the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. Hey, it's not diluted. It's not diluted. My mother, when she would give me some grape juice, she'd put half water in the stuff because she thought the grape juice was too strong. I'm sure some of the wine that they drink, they diluted. But here's God's wrath, the wrath of God without any dilution, no mixture. Into the cup of his indignation. He's indignant with someone. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. That sounds terrible to me. The last year or two, my wife and I both had a little bit of a rough year. And, boy, you think, can I get over this? Are we going to ride this out? Are we going to come back again? Well, last year, about October, I got a little resurrection. Some of you counted me dead last summer. But, hey, I'm still here. I'm still preaching. Wow, I'm still teaching. I'm still having fun. I'm still eating enchiladas. I got a chili belly. I don't know of any Indian or Mexican blood in me, but it sure seems like it must be there. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. That's pretty well what Verlene's had just about a year. She got two nights sleep. Friday night, Saturday night, she slept all night. In fact, I went in Saturday morning wondering if she was dead. She wasn't moving. But she was breathing, so I didn't wake her up. She had two good nights sleep. Who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Man, that sounds a whole lot like the other things Jesus was talking about, doesn't it? Well, let's turn over a little bit. Look at chapter 19, verse 20. Jesus comes back in chapter 19. Comes back with his saints. But Jesus is going to win the war. We're going to be with him as soldiers, but we're just around for window dressing. He's going to slay them with a sword of his mouth. But look at verse 20. After this great battle, battle of Armageddon, and the beast was taken, they captured the beast, and with him the false prophet, they captured the false prophet, who wrought the miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Sounds like the other place it was talking about. Sounds like the other verses that I've been reading. Now notice, they were both cast alive into a lake burning with fire and brimstone. Look over in chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet were. Are. Not were. This is 1,000 years later. Look with me. Verse 2, last part of it, 1,000 years. Verse 3, right in the middle of the verse, the 1,000 years. Verse 4, the last part of verse 4, with Christ, 1,000 years. Verse 5, until the 1,000 years were finished. Verse 6, shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the verse 7, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and cast into the lake of fire. 6 times it tells you it's 1,000. I heard a scholar one time say that means it's an indeterminate number of years. He's intelligent. He couldn't read second grade books and give a decent answer. 6 times 1,000 years. That's just in this one chapter. Now, notice the beast and the false prophet are still in the lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone, 1,000 years later when Satan gets in there with them. They're still there. They haven't disappeared. The smoke of their torment's been going up, but they're still there. Now that's scary. If that don't scare you, you're not too bright. If you don't think, I better think about what God thinks more than what people think, you're not too bright. Think about it a minute. This is scary stuff. And you ought to talk to God about it. You really ought to go to God about it. Scariest thing I know. The thought of it. Verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now think with me. We get so busy going through life that we forget what's really important. We're so busy getting a job, trying to find somebody to love, raising the kids, trying to have enough money to do what we want to do and then do what we have to do. Working 2 or 3 jobs. I worked 2 or 3 jobs most of my life. And let me tell you something. You get busy. Now, one of those jobs for the last 56 years was being a preacher of the gospel. That was one of them. And I knew my number one job was being a preacher of the gospel. I may have roofed houses and painted houses and taught school to pay the bills, keep the kids in milk and clothes. But I was a preacher. I knew I was a preacher. Have you given this much thought lately? You got anybody around you, close to you, that's not saved? It's not just a sad thing that they're not saved. It's not just that they're missing out on so much of the good of life because they're not saved. When they die, some preacher's going to say nice things over them. Going to tell you how good they were. Tell you what a fine man he was or what a fine woman she was. And they're going to sing her favorite songs and they're going to tell some nice stories. And nobody wants to speak evil of the dead. Nobody. I don't want to. Because I don't know. I believe in foxhole conversions. I believe in conversions in hospital beds. I believe you can be there. I believe in conversions that people cannot respond. After my experience with Eddie in the hospital, it changed me completely the way I dealt with people. Because when my boy came back out of that, he said, I understood everything you ever said to me. I was trying to answer you. He was understanding my questions. He was, all I got was a gobbledygook, blah, 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 I didn't know his brain was scrambled. No, he was listening. He could not respond. Now, when I go in and somebody's sitting there and they're comatose, you know what I do? I reach down and I say, if you can hear me, God can hear you. If you can hear me, God can hear you. Why don't you call on God and ask Him to save your soul? Why don't you ask Him for forgiveness? If you haven't, why don't you do what you need to do? And I personally believe some people are going to get saved that way. I may never know it. You know, they have a saying, soldiers have a saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. When those bullets start coming around, those bombs start exploding around you, everybody's calling out to whoever's out there. Some of them don't know who to call on, and some of them don't know the right name, but oh, I tell you what they said, if you're out there, help me. Wow. Wow. Go back over to Luke 12. There is a God in heaven that caused this book to be written.
Amen.
And the Lamb of God, with the greatest heart for sinners and souls and sorrow, is the one that told us this thing. Fear not them which kill the body. Wow, we've got some misplaced fear. I've been reading Stonewall Jackson's, well, I've read three biographies now of the same man by different people. One thing about him, he was absolutely brave. He's standing out in the front of a battle and bullets are flying around him, flying over here. He's just sitting there just as calm, sitting that horse. Because he believed he would die when God wanted him to die. So he didn't have to fear. He felt that he was as secure on his horse in the midst of a battle as he was in his bed at night at home. Wow. How about that? Did you know God's got your life in His hands? Do you understand that God's with you every day of your life?
Amen.
He doesn't miss anything. When you're cussing, taking God's name in vain in 15 different ways, He's listening. He sees how little you think about Him. He's just a byword. He's just a cuss word. He's just a nothing. He's a curse. God's with you every day.
Amen.
He sees how much attention you give Him.
Amen.
He knows how important He is to you. Now that ought to scare the deal out of most of us. That ought to bring some consciousness. I'm living my life and I don't ever think about what the one who could put me in hell after I die thinks about me. Now to me, that's why I'm an evangelist. I was asked to preach this funeral if they couldn't get the person that, you know, was of the family. And I told him, sure I would. I didn't have to preach the funeral because somebody else was there, part of the family. And they had a funeral. The funeral was much different than what it would have been if I'd have preached it. Because, you see, I made up my mind a long time ago, I want the gospel in somewhere in every message I give. Every wedding, every funeral, I want the gospel somewhere because people are there that don't go to church. Every time somebody dies, you know what that ought to tell you? I'm going to die.
Amen.
This ought to wake you up. A 20-year-old dies. Man, that ought to open your eyes. That's a tragedy.
Amen.
Now, a 90-year-old dying, an 80-year-old dying, a 70-year-old dying, that's not a tragedy. You had plenty of life. You've had plenty of chances to enjoy life and experience things and to seek God and to do what you wanted to do with your life. But a 20-year-old, that's a tragedy. A little 6-year-old, my, got hit by a car. That's a tragedy. Oh, how you want to cry. Break your heart. I got saved because hell just seemed too much for my mind to take. I don't know about you. You know what I read today? I think it's terrible. That scared me to death. That scared me. I can honestly say that I was foolhardy enough not to be worried about a whole lot of things. But when I thought about going out to meet God and going to hell, it scared me. I've told my story so many times, but it is my story. It is my story. I was called to take the 74 octane truck to the ground power units where they fill them up. And I had been working water alcohol runs, which were the biggest runs for the jets to take off all day long. It was time to leave. And I had an appointment. So I told the dispatcher, I said, "Hey, I've been running all day long. Some of these guys haven't been to run all day. I have an appointment." He said, yeah, I see it. Okay, Kincaid. Bobby Harris, friend of mine from Tennessee, 20, 21 years old. Take the 74 truck and go to ground power. When we rode off the flight line, we were a SAC base. We carried atomic bombs, and the great big bombers was on our base. They were out all the time. That's what we were fueling. Bobby had the truck down there. He had the nozzle locked in, 1,000-gallon tank up here, and it's up on a ladder, and he's standing right under it. And he's watching the meter to see how many gallons are going in. Now, he shouldn't have done that. He should have been up there with his hand on the nozzle. Okay? But we all did it. I could have done it. Well, they didn't need 1,000 gallons. They just needed 500. And all of a sudden, with all the power of those engines, those Wisconsin engines, on the back of those gasoline trucks, that began to overflow and fell right down on top of him. And he reached up. There's a button on the engine. You touch that button, it killed everything. But when he reached out to touch it, static electricity sparked him. Threw him 30 feet, took his ears off, took his eyes off, and he died 11 days later in San Antonio. That was my truck. That was my run. I was called for that run. And I wasn't saved. I thought, whoa, where would I be? If I'd have got that, taken that run, if I'd have done the same thing he did, lock it open, sit underneath it and watch the meter, instead of being up there holding it with your hand till your fingers nearly fall off. Bobby Harris saved? I hope he was. I don't know. He's from Tennessee. Got a lot of Baptists in Tennessee. Got a lot of others. They got a lot of preachers in Tennessee. I'm hoping he was. But you know what I learned? I learned 20-year-olds can die. You don't have to be so smart. You take a cigarette and throw it out into gasoline. You take chances. You get careless with things that you're so familiar with. I've been in gasoline spills where the whole truck fell off of the cab and just splashed out all over me. Couple of 1,000 gallons. I smelled of it every day. But I was alive. And I had a year to think about it. And I thought about it. I thought, if that would have been me, I'd have probably been in hell. A lot of people weigh things out. I did. I'm sure you have. I'm not as bad as this person. When God takes to heaven, He's surely going to have the 50% of the best ones. Well, I'm sure not the worst one. I knew some scabs that were a whole lot worse than me. But that's not the way it works. You see, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, is anybody that tips the scale on the righteous side? Nobody does. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Every one of us is a sinner, and the wages of sin is death. Physical death, spiritual death, and the second death, which is the lake of fire. You ever thought about that? Now I want to ask you something today. And you're my favorites. Man, you guys come all the time. Good to see you. Are you saved? Are you really saved? Have you trusted what Jesus did for you? Did you let God forgive your sins and save your soul and change your life? Because if you haven't, you better take real good look at what Jesus had to say. Fear not them which kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. What a sentence. What a thought. They have no more they can do. Somebody can do something to you after you're dead. And it's worse than anything that could happen to you while you're alive. Hey, Verlene and I both have experienced a year or two and a few things. Wow! Painful! You think, man, I'm getting old, I'm wearing out. How long is this thing going to last? Well, let me tell you something. What God has is a whole lot worse than anything else. Not anything in this life in comparison to it. And if you die, we're all going to say sweet things about you. May not help you. See, because it doesn't matter much what we say at the funeral. It doesn't matter much what your family thinks of you. It matters what God thinks of you. Are you saved? Really saved? Do you believe this? Do you believe Jesus Christ died? You know why He died? He saw that. You know why He paid the price for your sin? He saw that. He sees it every day. And by the way, I haven't given you everything on hell, but I've given you all the important parts. Have fun. God bless you.